On today's episode of The Front Row, we are in the home and studio of James Johnson, a local artist here in town who's done very, very well. He's famous across the area. It's a privilege to have him on the show. James, welcome to The Front Row. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you, Clint. I'm really happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, for folks who would like to know more about you and your journey, as it were, to bring you to where you are today, tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you grew up, and your life in art.
Well, I grew up in upstate New York and went to college as a chemistry major. And after 1 year of that, I wasn't doing so well. But I took an elective in art and happened to get a teacher who gave everybody, they had everybody in this class of 300 do two drawings. And out of the 300, he picked 100 people that should try a studio drawing class. And I was one of the 100, so I took it. And what I found out was you didn't have to be born with talent, because I never was. I thought you know, you had to be born with it. And really, I didn't even realize that living people could be artists. You know, it was like something dead people were. So I ended up changing my major to, you know, I took a studio course and learned that some of the tricks to drawing and all that. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that you could learn this. So I became an art major and ended up with a degree in that from Oswego State University, New York, Oswego. And while I was there, Linwood Krennic from Texas Tech came to town to do a printmaking workshop. Mm-hmm. I was a printmaking major. Mm-hmm. And he showed beautiful pictures of the Tech campus, and blue skies. It's very cloudy up there and cold. And I really liked him and his work and the sense of humor in his work. So Tech was one of the graduate schools I applied to. And he offered me a $100 scholarship and in-state tuition, which was $4 a credit hour. So I thought between that and the nice weather and the pretty campus, I decided to go to Tech and ended up getting my master's there in 1981. Printmaking major, I tried to be a painting minor, but I got kicked out of painting. So the painting teacher and I didn't get along. So I minored in drawing, and as soon as I got finished, I started painting again. So, and it just, for 10 years after that, I painted houses part-time. And really, I ended up getting married to a girl from Lubbock before I even got out of grad school, who was also an artist. And her name was Future Akins. And you know, we made art. I painted houses like 1 week a month and made paintings probably 60 hours a week for, you know, about 10 years of that, and was my last house painting job. I think around 1989 or 90 was I started to make a living at it.
Right.
Showing other places. You know, it didn't sell much around Lubbock then, but you know, the other places I did, and spent the next probably 10, 20 years or so mostly showing around here, but sales and things were more around the country.
Got it. Did you do art shows? Did you go to like fairs and no, festivals and things like
that? No, it was mostly commercial galleries and juried competitions. A few, like, you know, some museum shows.
Yeah.
Some were invitational. Just all, basically, I would do anything.
Right.
You know, I would take my art anywhere, anywhere they wanted it.
Right. When you were growing up, did you enjoy going to museums and seeing paintings? Was the world of art already familiar to you?
No, not at all. I drew stick figures and The first art museum I was ever in was a friend of mine and I went to Europe after we graduated high school. We had saved some money. I worked in a box factory and saved some money. And the first museum I ever went into was the Louvre in Paris. And I was blown away, to say the least. And I mean, but that was just overwhelming. But after that, we kind of headed south. And in Barcelona, I saw a couple of shows there of these surrealist works, who I learned about much later, had never heard of. And I mean, that really inspired me. I mean, that had me, you know, in the Louvre, it's like, oh man, I could never do that. And this was, again, it was before I knew you could learn art.
Yeah.
But after seeing that work in Barcelona, I was like, oh, I wish I could do that, because it kind of looked doable, mm-hmm. but I still didn't have a clue how it was done. But so I didn't, you know, and then after I got back, I discovered Rochester, New York, where I lived, had an art museum. That was nice.
Yeah.
And I read art history, got two or three different art history books every week. Every time I went anywhere, I looked for an art museum, art galleries. I mean, I thought I was going to die of boredom as a teenager. And when I got into art, all that went away. I mean, I haven't been bored since.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
great.
It saved my life, I think.
That's amazing. Well, in the interim time, the time that you've been here in Lubbock, have you gravitated towards a particular kind of art, or do you like doing all kinds of things?
For probably from the 80s through kind of the mid 90s, I did a lot of sort of figurative narrative stuff. And there were some things in the 90s, well, during that time, that people around here thought was kind of weird. And, you know, there were a lot of nudes. And and I was pursuing, like, the concept, you know, one of the things I was pursuing was sort of attraction and repulsion from art. You know, I tried to make things look beautiful with subject matter that was repulsive, okay, or shocking, or things like that. I mean, it was all kind of autobiographical, about things I was thinking, things I'd been going through, you know, just thoughts, yeah, social commentary, things like that. But around 96, 95, 96, I basically got tired of that. And I thought, you know, I would like to make art. You know, you never want people to walk by your painting. I think I was worried about that. But I decided maybe I could come up with something that stopped people with beauty and not shock value.
Okay.
You know, maybe I was probably just maturing as an adult. But, you know, what meant a lot. I felt like I'd said what I wanted to say about all that. So I started looking for things that were beautiful. And that kind of led me to a series I did here and showed a lot of it at the museum at Tech, mm-hmm, and then at a couple of galleries in New Mexico and Louisiana. It was called The Human Nature. And there were large paintings of mostly children and babies. They're kind of portrait faces in West Texas landscapes. And that got me, that was really popular. I'm like, this is cool. People stop, they look, they like it, you know, and they're not like, ew, that's gross.
So, right.
But, you know, and from there, I just kept pursuing that. And then around, it's probably 2003, I decided I wanted to do a lot of different things. I had been talking with a couple of friends about the whole strangeness of having an artist having a style. So I wrote a manifesto called the Anti-Stylist Manifesto. That whole concept of style is very limiting to creativity. And it's really a commercial concept that developed when art went kind of bourgeois back in the 19th century. That, you know, this artist has a certain look. And I don't really believe that. I think you can't keep the artist out of the art. So I started doing whatever style, whatever media I wanted to say what I wanted, used like a style or an imagery that suited the idea and the best way to communicate it, instead of worrying about if it looked like the last piece. Mm. And ever since then, that's what I've been doing. But what happened over time is you end up working in different series, kinda, but it's not like a linear thing. You know, you might do sort of 10 like this, and then 10 again later, or you might do 3, you know, and then you take an idea and go back to it and say, well, maybe if I do this instead. And it just became more invigorating for me in the studio. Because as an artist, you know, when you're not in school, you realize nobody really cares about what you do. You know, in school, you pay for them to care.
Right.
Your classmates,
right.
Your professors. When you're on your own, it's up to you to go in your studio in the morning and start making something. And you have to be inspired. If you get bored, you will stop. And I never wanted to stop. So I just kept looking for new things to inspire me.
I would think that'd be very freeing as an artist.
Absolutely.
To have an epiphany like that, and then all of a sudden you've taken away all of the obstacles to your creativity and your imagination.
Absolutely. And another thing I learned along the way is, first of all, you will never make a painting that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear like the Mona Lisa. Yeah, you know, it's because it's been hyped up. People recognize the name, the image. But, you know, if nobody knew what it was, not everybody
would
like it.
Right, yeah.
If they didn't know, it was worth $100 million.
Right.
But what I did learn is that somebody will like anything. You know, if you make something, you know, that shares a part of you, you know, and you do it in a way that appeals to somebody else. And it's not about how many people, you know, like your piece. It's not about how much money it sells for. It's about connecting with another human through an object. Because that's all a painting is. You know, it's paint on a canvas or a panel, piece of paper. It's an object. And to stimulate feeling and thought in a third party who you may not know, who just looks at it, you know, it's like you put this magic into an object and that magic talks back to somebody. And that, you know, that can happen whether it's consistent with your style or not.
Yeah. Well, and with your philosophy and your experience and your knowledge and all of those things put together, Lubbock has decided to honor you. And they're going to honor you tonight, right?
That's right. I am absolutely thrilled. I have said in the past I would rather be on the Walk of Fame than receive like a Kennedy Center honor, because it's, you know, it's the people that know me. Mm-hmm. It's not some ephemeral thing that people are giving to you for whatever. It's, you know, it's because they know me, they have seen what I've done, and you know, and Lubbock is my home. I chose as an adult to live here because it's a great place to live and to make art. And I'm like, I used to say if I ever found a better place to live, I would leave.
Right.
But I never did.
Right.
And it just, Lubbock has just kept getting better and better for the arts.
Good.
I mean, it's become a hub for the arts.
All right. James Johnson is our guest on the Front Row today, and he is being inducted this very evening into the Lubbock Walk of Fame in a ceremony that will take place this very night. What a great honor it is for you, and it's so well deserved. So happy to see that.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for taking the time on a wonderful day to be our guest on the Front Row. Thank you.
My pleasure, Clint. Thank you.